Our message today is based on our gospel reading heard moments ago. And the title of our meditation is St. Paul Lutheran Church, Jesus' Project. You've selected me and a handful of other men to serve as your spiritual leaders along with Pastor Rolofson. I've been serving as an elder now for about a year and a half. And prior to that, I've also served with you for a number of years, about 7 or 8. Pastor Stace has been with us for 4.5 years. There are really 2 distinct parts to our congregation. We have the spiritual side, and we have the legal 501c3 side. While all of us need to care about our spiritual life together, Pastor Stace and the elders are to oversee and shape our spiritual life as a Lutheran church. While all of us need to be concerned about our legal responsibilities, the church council and paid staff of our church need to care about our legal life together so that all things are done in good order as a nonprofit. It is hard to see these 2 aspects, but think of them this way. As believers, we use the Bible, here, God's Word, as our source of salvation and the guide to our lives every day, where we live as missionaries and ministers. As a nonprofit organization, we use our Constitution and bylaws as our, quote, Bible, to guide us in how we work together, where God's Word has given us the freedom to organize as we see fit. Here we're actually looking at making some changes in how we govern and work together with a new draft constitution. But right now, the current one is our golden rule in how we treat each other. Said another way, we use our current constitution and bylaws as the guide in how we drive on the road of mission and ministry together so we don't have all kinds of collisions and actually fulfill the Great Commission. Of course, many of us know that we've had a number of collisions over the years in our congregation. Jesus cares about that, because he is the one who is at work building his church in us and among us. Jesus' work in us is renewed through our regular reception of Jesus on Sunday mornings in word and sacrament, and in our devotional life where we study, sing songs, and offer Christian support and receive it from others who help us in faith, hope, and love. For all of our failed attempts at mission and ministry in our daily lives and in the life of our church, Jesus forgives and reboots us, so to speak, to live in faith toward God and love for one another. How many ways do we need to be revived so that we can carry out our ministries at home and wherever we go? How many ways do we need to be revived by Jesus and his love so that we can give a daily witness to those who live only in fear, guilt, shame, and blame around us? And as a congregation, as St. Paul Lutheran Church, how many ways does Jesus keep forgiving us, teach, and encourage us so that we can embrace a few congregational mission and ministry efforts together? God only knows, but I hope you find it encouraging that Jesus loves his building project in and through us and will get it done. Thank God, he cares always. Jesus, through word and sacrament, is the power that saves, revives, and employs our individual lives of mission and ministry, and our corporate, our congregational or corporate life, where we share a few mission and ministry activities as we adopt them through our voters' assembly. While most of your life of mission and ministry is lived, well, away from this building, Jesus gathers us here often to revive our drooping faith. That's why we have a pastor. God has established the pastoral office to administer the forgiveness of sins through word and sacrament. Pastor Stace is to care for our spiritual lives, but he's not the only one. Some of our members work with Pastor in ministering to us so that we can scatter into our individual lives of ministry. Pastor and the Board of Elders, along with a few others, are to also help us in our individual lives of mission. Think about our church as a training facility where we have opportunities to learn more about what it means for us to be God's agents of mission and ministry in our daily lives. Did I say that you are a minister? Did I say that you are a missionary? Amen. Tragically, many Christians in our culture see places like this, where we're gathered here today, as a place of consumerism. They make us feel good, tell us good things, don't make us think hard, and don't require anything from us, well, except for an occasional few dollars. Consumerism is consuming the Christian church in America. In a recent Pew study that was conducted, 46% of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod people polled thought that having an abortion should be legal in most cases. 30% of those polled in the Southern Baptist Church also agreed. Let me try to explain what has happened. For many years now, the truth of God's word has been dumbed down. Instead of teaching God's children, Holy Mother Church has played with them. Instead of training soldiers of the cross, we have inoculated people to be dull to sin, spiritual battle, and spiritual integrity. Honesty, helpfulness, and integrity have been replaced with mediocrity, leave me be, and shuck and jive. The church in America has become institutionalized into just one more product to consume among others, or one to avoid. Even those who seek to be faithful to the Lord can wind up just like Peter did so long ago, and we heard about in our scripture today. Right after Peter confesses his faith in Jesus and receives praise for the Lord, Peter gets all mixed up and is called the devil by Jesus. I don't know about you, but this has happened to me on more than one occasion that I really don't care to admit. It's not easy for us to understand what the will of the Lord is, so we need to be in the Word. The devil is in the details too. For some, shaping the local church into "this is the kind of religion we like" club is all too easily found. But this consumerism, where the customer can have it any way he wants, has gutted the church of truth. As a result of all these things, the Christian church in America, across all denominations, has been diagnosed with moralistic therapeutic deism. Let me try to explain a few of those terms. Moralistic. Believers think that they are better than others and see little need for Jesus' forgiveness in their daily lives. Therapeutic. Believers just want a church experience that makes them feel good. Deism. Believers know that God exists, but do not see Him in their lives and the details of their daily lives. Well, what does this all mean? I'd say, first off, don't throw in the towel. It may seem discouraging, but we have a lot of mission training to do as a church. We also have a lot of ministry training to do. But thankfully, we have the perfect teacher who is willing and ready, Jesus. Of course, this also means that much of the stress that a local church has is the consumerism and church light of the times. It also means that where this church light is the norm, many serve out of ignorance and fear, not faith, courage, and love. This brings us to a question. How have you and I taken advantage of training opportunities here at St. Paul? I know at times we're not really used to thinking about our church as a training place, but this needs to change. How many of us need training on marriage, parenting, being a godly friend, and dealing and living with a morally decaying world? Let's take a look at some passages on the wall, and let's read them together. First, we want to take a look at Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." As I read that, I found a lot of joy, particularly from the fact that in this world that we've been talking about, Jesus has all authority. And the other one is that each day, no matter what I go through, He's with us always, that day and each day to come. Another verse for us to read together is found in Acts 2, verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." Here again, we're reminded from the early church the power of us all coming together to share in fellowship, to share and come together for the Lord's Supper, and to also come together as one to pray to God for His guidance and His love to be among us. Another verse, group of verses found in 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 8, like it's to read, says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. So again, as God's prepared us through his word for the things that are coming and happening among us, do we need training to avoid these things? Absolutely. But the right training that we can get comes from Jesus. Jesus will build his church, make no mistake. But don't we want him to do that among us? Aren't we his church? When you think of your life of mission and ministry this way, how can your spiritual leaders be of service to you so that you can experience more of his life in your thoughts, words, and actions of mission and ministry? Let me make it even more risky for myself. How can I help you with your life of mission and ministry? And along the same way, I ask you, because I need your help too, how can you help me in my life of mission and ministry? Because together, we can not only be the building projects of Jesus, but also his building partners in our daily lives. Pastor Stace keeps calling us God's handiwork, a beautiful congregation in the Lord. Pastor reminds us that we are salt and light, scattered to make the world taste good and to shine the light of Jesus. To be salt and light takes courage and love. We are also a church struggling with developing better ways of working together and doing some congregational mission and ministry together. But Jesus is at work. Now, with Pastor's divine call to move to Oklahoma, we're at a crossroad. Do we need Pastor Stace to continue to walk with us in North Texas? Or do we need another kind of pastor to help us rebuild who and what we are? Said another way, do we want to be more than a church of status quo, a don't rock the boat kind of church like so many around us? We will need to talk about this, and we will have plenty of opportunity as we face a number of mission and ministry issues. Also, in Pastor Stace's state of the parish, he identified, and this is in your notes, some issues behind the scenes. I'd like to read some of those for you this morning from his notes. Constitutional organization. We are struggling in dysfunction, but getting a little traction. Without leadership training, this will continue to hurt more of our members. How many ways has this been allowed systemically over the years? School. Our Christian school is an untapped mission field. Many families are on our campus all week long, But without changing how we work together, we will not reach our school with the message of Jesus in word and sacrament. Do we want to connect them to Jesus? This would be our main congregational or corporate mission focus. Money doesn't count. It's about human faith touch, involving the baptized in the ministry of the church. The church. We are trying to rebuild basic ministries, but we are all busy. So do we have a desire to regrow our ministries and pay some staff for professional services to minister, to help us minister to each other? Pastor Stace has not been with us long. Our district president, Reverend Ken Hennings, calls pastor's service among us a unintentional interim pastorate. Pastor Stace has cared for us and helped us through some important and very difficult issues. His goals, soon upon his arrival, continue, and he has shared them in a number of ways. To work on congregational stabilization, gospel healing, and redeveloping congregational ownership by leaders and members. He thought he was being asked to work on 8 priorities in the call documents, but more foundational work was needed. Now is the time for us to ask the following question over the next few weeks. What is Jesus doing now? And why is pastor being asked to consider moving? Along with that question, we need to revisit the priorities we gave pastor and ask ourselves if they are really our priorities. They are listed in your sermon notes, and I will read them. In pastor's call, facilitated by the Texas District in 2013, the following priorities were identified by us and given to him in order of importance. Work with congregational leaders in setting visionary leadership. Skilled and energetic preaching. Help us develop strong evangelism and outreach into the community. Serves as the lead Bible teacher for the congregation. Is personally skilled and active in sharing Jesus with non-members. Regularly visits hospitalized and homebound members. Provides strong guidance in the area of stewardship. Serves as a catalyst to help heal congregational conflict. One of the ways that we can think about all of this is by considering the possible future Pastor gave us. It's a picture of what we can aim for together. That, too, is in your sermon notes, but I'd like to read it. A possible future. The Lord is in the St. Paul boat. He is freeing us from our sin, training us in godliness, and calling us to care for each other, that's ministry, and to fish, mission. We have a number of young families among us. Praise God for that. I think we could grow a new chapter with our young church families and also reach our school families. Our school is the closest congregational mission connection we have, and its potential is untapped. We can do this by making our church and school one operation where stewardship, discipleship, and activities are united. To support this, we need to develop our leadership and grow our congregational ownership of both our church and school. Brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter what our future is as a church, Jesus is at work right now in our individual lives. And he will finish what he has started so that we can reach our families, our friends, and all those who each of us reaches, touches, and has passport with each day. Paul says it this way, and let's also read this together from the Word. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to keep in mind, for that will help us know what our future can be together. So getting closer to your heart and mind, how can Pastor Stace and the Board of Elders help you with your life of mission and ministry? I'd like you to go back and look at the survey you did at the beginning of this message at the top of page 3. Then I'd like you to take your attendance card and please put the answers that you gave to both A and B on your attendance card. Share what you checkmarked as your mission strength, and also share what you put an X on as your strongest focus of ministry. Your responses will help us understand where we are and where we can go together, even before we embrace a possible mission focus as a congregation. We are at a crossroad. But keep in mind, Pastor Stace has two calls to consider. Our call to him and that of Redeemer in Eden, Oklahoma. No matter what happens, our Lord Jesus Christ will continue to build his church in us and through us. Though each of us stumble and fall in many ways every day, like Peter did long ago, thank goodness Jesus isn't afraid to restore us to God's grace and mercy. He even seeks to use us in reaching the lost in our lives and to encourage each other in our life of faith. We know this because of another crossroad where Jesus took upon himself all of our sin, wickedness, and transgression in order to rescue us and empower us to live in God's family, to be his church on earth and in heaven. Let me say it myself. You, each one of you, are God's handiwork, a beautiful congregation in the Lord, through God forgiving and forgetting in Jesus. May I also remind you that you all are salt and light, gathered to be renewed in the Lord, to scatter back into your own mission and ministry fields, to make the world taste good and to shine light of Jesus on all of life. So you and I are St. Paul Lutheran Church. We are the Lord's building project. He loves the work he is doing in our lives to reach the lost in our associations and to minister to those who are already part of his church with us. We are his project. In the name of Jesus, amen.